Oh, it's fascinating to see how long Midsummer's been going.
I've lost count. It's like the 37 or 38 years. I think it's 37 years. Yes, it's been going a hell of a long time, and yeah.
Yeah, well, it's great. And also, it's developed into something really big.
I think that's absolutely true. Very much, my CEO was brought on around 8 years ago by the board to very much give it a focus of an arts festival. And I think what that's done is created, which was the intention, to create this ecology of support and interaction and bringing venues and public and artists together. And I think what we found, and certainly found it last year with a program that had more than 200 events, this year we've got about 250. But what it's showing is huge appetite for queer shows telling queer stories. And it's right across the breadth and depth of all sorts of genres. But theatre's the one that's really popping up its head in terms of people really wanting to tell stories and audiences really wanting to hear them.
Well, tell me about the Brave Space development, because that's really important. Like you said, creating an ecology and Midsummer actually putting resources into diverse artists' voices.
Listen, we love to support all shows that are out there, but some producers and some artists are already doing great work. What the board and the staff have identified is there are some key areas within our communities that I guess the voices weren't being heard. They're from our people of colour, they're from our disabled cultures, they're from our First Nations cultures. So right across the board, we do a lot of work to try and highlight those stories, and certainly Victoria's pride in the area that they use over there on Gertrude and Smith Street has a really robust engagement with First Nations communities in the lead up to and the organisation of that event. Well, there's a few things. We're trying to support everyone. I guess in our cultures at the moment, there's a lot of backlash from certain parts of the community. So we try and flesh out stories that really support that. We work with the group Fauna from Bee Projects, who are developing First Nations work and people of colours work. We've commissioned civil works with that. Victoria's Pride and Beck Cohen, who's the producer of that event, works year round to support different shows where we want to have those stories told. The wonderful Lion, James Crothers, who's a person of colour who's within our community that's about to head over to Europe actually in about 6 months, bringing out new material. So we work with them, we brought them into our launch to really start exposing their art form and their practice. Had another lovely artist called Jackie, who's a Cambodian Australian artist, who's also putting out new material, who we had sing at our launch, will also appear. Those two at Carnival and most likely at Victoria's Pride, although their full program's not announced yet. But it is really trying to identify those groups and trying to build capacity, I guess. So we can't achieve all those things in 1 year, but what we try and do with the resource we have is continue to work and support groups in light of trying to get them really firm footing so that they have the ability to grow both their own performance groups, but to reach out and engage and work with others and other venues across Melbourne.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that Midsummer has actually gone out to find people and commission work. This is really big.
We go out to, and we've done that for the last numbers of years. We do that. We also go out and try and work with people that we know are doing great work in that. And it's not just our First Nations and people of colour, it's our intergenerational work. People like Catherine Barrett, who did a suite of films last year called Turbulence, was really looking at the relationships between younger and elders in our community. They've continued that work this year and brought out a beautiful piece called Generation K, which is a response between elders and youth and working on projects that can create kindness between those groups, form greater understanding and move forward in the future with that. Those works for me are really special and really important. Giving that support to groups within our community is really wonderful work that we can do. And there's wonderful people in the community that are already doing that work, and we try and support them where we can in that aim.
Yeah, righto. And the other thing is that you mentioned that there's lots of different venues. Tell me about that.
lots of different venues. We're different to other festivals in that regard. We don't have our own hub as such. We don't have our own venue, but we work with other venues, and we have 8 hubs this year, from Theatre Works, the Victorian Pride Centre, Gasworks, Abbotsford Convent, the Butterfly Club in the city, and the Motley Powerhouse on the north side. Midsummer West Side is a congregation of a few venues over on our west side there in Chapel of Chapel. Basically, what the hubs are for us is if you could go to that venue at any stage across midsummer, we would say that you will fall across queer programming. So those venues generally across that period of 21 Jan to the 11th of February have a huge amount of programming that allows people to really drop into those centres and be rest assured they're going to get a variety of queer programming, from theatre to spoken word to cabaret to musical performances.
Oh, wow, that's great. They're really great venues, and it really means that people from all across Melbourne can actually go to some events without it being really difficult.
Absolutely. And, you know, more than half of our events are free. In addition to the hubs that do that much programming, we also work really closely with some of Melbourne's really large institutions. So the Melbourne Museum does a gig with us called Nocturnal, which is coming into the museum at nighttime, which is wonderful. And they had one of their best nocturnals last year during midsummer. The Immigration Museum do a wonderful under 18 event, which is called Night at the Museum. NGV do a suite of talks and tours through that venue. The library do a series of things for families. So not only do we have our specialised sort of hubs that have a lot of queer programming, but we have our, you know, major institutions that for a few years now have been on board every midsummer to make sure that they've got some form of programming in there during our festival as well. But it's not just those dates, I guess. We have another huge project happening in the West this year, which is called Queer Photo. So we joined a collaboration with Trocadero Art Projects and Photo Orb that do big public art photographic works in big light boxes all across the city. But for this year, this project will take place in the West, so out at Antony Substation and Footscray Community Arts, and we're at the Trocadero, where we have 17 artists and 14 exhibitions across 7 locations. So they're just the artists and the artwork, and on top of that, there's the wonderful Delcy Maleta has developed a series of around 30 public engagement activities that are anything from talks and tours, practical workshops on photography, get your dog photographed, as well as little bus tours around some of those regions. So this year, more than ever, it's such a big visual arts offering for midsummer. We have our Midsummer in Australia Post Art Award at No Vacancy that happens every year. That's starting to get a lot of national attention because it's the big queer arts, visual arts prize. Which is always with us, but Queer Photo on top of that this year is such a massive project for visual artists this year, which we're really proud of as well.
Wow, you guys have been working hard. The other thing is you've got major key events, Midsummer Carnival.
We do.
Yeah, tell us about the carnival.
Well, Midsummer Carnival kicks off, that's 21st of January, so that's our first Sunday. Huge day down at Alexandria Park, Alexandria Gardens, down on the just on the south side there of the Yarra. We take over the entire space to get something like 120,000 people through the day that come to see that. We have a wonderful big stalls precinct, which has all our queer organisations from Melbourne that are set up down there, and they provide information across the day as well as a bit of a touchstone, come to meet some people in different organisations. We have a big sports precinct down there where all of our sports people get involved down there and do some demonstrations. Food stalls, bars, etc. And we have 2 big stages. One is a big main, well, they're both big main stages. One's a little bit more intimate, our picnic stage, which do the regulars like dog show, which is probably the highlight of the day. I'm sure about an hour and a half. And in good weather last year, we had about 55 dogs all packed back a house in the green room waiting to go on stage. But it's such a sweet little event. That's historically been there for many, many, many years. And we run a lip sync limelight, which is also just as fun, hosted by the wonderful Dina Curry, Frock Hudson, where people have the chance to get up and do a wonderful lip sync up there. That was that was fabulous last year. And we have a nighttime program that's really about dancing and enjoying yourself at that time. During the day, what we do is we offer our all of our events are doing our open access program, which are about 160, 170 events we offer them slots during the day. So it might not be your international stars, but what it is a little bit of a snippet of some of the shows that take place across midsummer. So it's a chance for people to kind of explore the program a little bit through the day and engage with different artists on stage. And then into nighttime, come 6 o'clock, it's time to dance, it's time to party. And that kicks off the 3 weeks of the festival for us. In the second or the third weekend, we have Pride March, which happens down Fitzroy Street. We've got more entrants than ever this year and tens of thousands of people that march down Fitzroy Street to show their pride as being part of this wonderful community. And that event keeps growing every year. Ends up in Kitani Gardens down the end, right on the beach there. And we have an afternoon up until 1 to about 5 o'clock, 4:30. An afternoon of staged entertainment. So again, we'll have some wonderful MCs, DJs, and a few acts down there to keep you entertained in the afternoon. And then over the last couple of years, we had this wonderful bookend at the end of our festival, which started 2 years ago called Victoria's Pride, which was the 40th year of the decriminalisation of homosexuality in Victoria. And thanks to Victorian government, they continue to fund that event. It takes over Smith Street and Gertrude Street in over in Collingwood, and is a day, a beautiful feeling kind of community, old school kind of community event where, you know, it's all about the people, the colour, the movement. But again, it's a chance for people to come out, celebrate Pride, check out two fabulous stages down there that have entertainment right throughout the day. So we've got a wonderful, wonderful suite of events in there that are our major events. And we've started building a beautiful event just the day before Pride. We work with wonderful Fed Square, provide us with a venue for the day and a hell of a lot of support for our artists. And we've got a wonderful day in there that has a couple of conversations, a couple of panels. One is to talk about the radical acts of joy and gathering, which is really come and join our queer disabled artists as they sort of unpack their community and their connection and the wonderful stories and events that they're producing in our festival this year. And then we have a Luzerina Aranda, who's the president of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, who are hoping to do their 26th international conference in 2026. So they're heading over here this year to do a bit of work on that and also to have a panel to talk about the effect and how we strengthen voices and practice and collaboration of LGBTQIA artists in the great global south. That'll be punctuated by an amazing event in the middle by Homophonic. It's called Homophonic Respect. And again, it's another intergenerational work that was done where they interviewed and spoke to elders and community, and classical compositions were written for those and to speak for those connections and conversations. Remember meeting with Miranda when I started 2.5 years ago, and they're very much looking for a home for that. And due to the good graces of Fed Square, we've been able to find a home for that, and that'll perform during and in between the two great panels that will happen there. And in addition to that, some wonderful wonderful activities and activations that people can enjoy in the atrium on that day. And that's on the 3rd of February, the day before Pride March. So it's a jam-packed festival of 250 events. I couldn't even tell you what half of them are about. Midsummer.org.au have all that detail on. We went on sale last Tuesday. And it's worth saying, I guess, at this stage, and certainly within that first 24 hours, we'd sold 2.5 times the number of tickets we did last year. So that's great news, not just for our audiences, but certainly for our producers and artists that are lining up to join this festival year after year. It's really hit its stride. I think we've hit a really lovely sweet spot where audiences are getting super excited for the festival now, and they're really talking with their feet, buying tickets and going to see a multitude of shows over the States.
It's amazing, actually. It's like a Moomba Comedy Festival and the defunct Spoleto all at once.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I love that. Yeah, we have symbolic views, isn't it? We have street parades, we have activations on the street, we have big parties on the street, down in the parks, as well as, you know, really interesting and really, you know, quite serious theatre works. And a whole bunch of stuff that Midsummer's been championing over the years, where we've supported different events like the Queer Playwriting Awards that happens at Gasworks. That's an opportunity for people to put their scripts in. There were 30, 40 scripts this year, which we read.
Wow.
Down with a short list. It's crazy that really the amount of work that's been generated really blows me away. I've worked in festivals for 20 years and most major festivals, and the amount of storytelling and interest that's coming out of our communities is breathtaking. So we really want to support that. We really want to support our storytellers. We have people like Ketan Petrovsky, who did the Gospel According to Jesus at some 45 Downstairs last year, sold out show. They're coming back to do a what you would say would be a gay retelling of Howards End, which was a wonderful story, being rewritten and retold. But it's a Tony and Olivier Award winning best play, being done at 45 Downstairs. People can look at it like binge watching theatre, I guess. It's done in 2 3-hour sessions, so it's for the real theatre aficionados who really want to delve deep into a really beautiful story that's a lot of interest, and certainly overseas, and really excited to have that story shown here. But it's pretty wild. There's a lot going on, and we have a lot to deliver, and we're really excited to do it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Esoteric as well as just joy, really.
There's a lot of joy. There's always that stuff. There's the wonderful parties that happen. There's the after parties to shows. There's the saunas doing their parties. There's the Granny Bingo. There's a lot of comedy. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of queer celebration in it as well.
Yeah, thanks very much for telling me about this. It's very exciting, really.
Yeah, thanks. Just one other thing we're incredibly proud of as well. Harriet Devlin, who's our artist development manager and was one of the Raucous, who's disabled artist with a disability, a performance group, works with us, has done now for the last 2 years. What we're doing in terms of increasing not just to our own, the communities that everyone knows about, but certainly our deaf and hard of hearing communities and our blind and low vision communities. Incredibly proud of the work that we're doing and that we've done over the last 12 months with our Disability Action Plan and our working groups to help us work out what sorts of shows we should support to get those communities to come and see and hear things as well. We've got something like 16 relaxed shows on, which are those people that might struggle a little bit with the bright lights and the really loud sound. We've got over 30 events that are Auslan interpreted for our deaf and hard of hearing communities, 10 to 15 events that are audio described for our blind and low vision communities, and a handful and a bunch of tactile tours that'll take place
Yeah.
across Victoria's Pride as well as the museum. So we just didn't want to make it easy for communities that find it easy to go to shows, but we're doing incredibly hard and really important work to set up Midsummer up for the future with those kinds of shows, and that access that we're providing is something that we do inherently from the start of when we start pulling these shows together. So that's something really special I just wanted to mention.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's quite very exciting work for you, really, isn't it? Because it's not just an everyday affair.
No, it's we took the whole organization on a big learning curve for that. We did a developed a suite of training for our communities, and it was such a beautiful sight at the launch last Tuesday to have our audio scribers in the crowd, to have our Auslan interpreters in the crowd, so deaf and hard of hearing community could move amongst those that don't have any hearing problems and communicate with everyone in the audience. It is a hard thing to do. It can be a little bit tricky at the start, making sure we get it right. But you know what? The joy that comes from seeing all of our community members able to enter into those spaces and enjoy them like everyone else brings more than a tear to my eye for those that know me.
Thank you very much for talking to me, Brendan.
Oh, a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us on, Ernie.
Good on you.